Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Cheese and Pickle.
All of television history is contained in the Box of Delights. Hello, I'm Julia Rayside. Each episode, my guest chooses a favourite TV memory to talk about. Joining me today is the TV critic and broadcaster, Michael Hogan.
Michael, hello.
Hello.
So tell me what you've brought to talk about today.
Today I have brought the legendary TV moment that is Kate O'Mara sunbathing on a clearly freezing cold cross-channel ferry on largely forgotten 1981 soap opera Triangle.
I don't think it's been forgotten. Well, certainly not in my circle.
Well,
anyway.
No, because, well, you're, you know, you love a nautical-based drama.
I do.
Julia, as I know from your... You know, I believe you're quite keen on Howard's Way.
I'm fairly keen. But it does often get sort of remembered in the same breath as Howard's Way, and it annoys me because Howard's Way was brilliant and Triangle was a load of old toss.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah, Howard's Way was the kind of, you know, the glamorous, the dynasty of the maritime world, whereas Triangle was the very much the El Dorado.
It was the El Dorado. It was hilarious. So just describe the basic premise. It's set on a North Sea ferry. And it runs...
Cross-channel.
Is it cross-channel? Because yeah. I think it was in the North Sea.
Well, no.
Felixstowe, Gothenburg, Amsterdam, right?
Yes,
that's
because
the triangle.
This is partly why it's so exciting for me, because I happen to grow up in Felixstowe.
Hang on a minute. I didn't know this.
A very unglamorous port, container port in Suffolk.
Wow, but I then, didn't know you were a Felixstowe.
When I was 11 and Triangle came along, and even on the opening credits, it was like those Dad's Army ones where you get an arrow going across a map, you know, those sort of graphics. The triangle went from Gothenburg to Amsterdam to Felixstowe. And
you were like, I know that.
It was impossibly exciting that Felixstowe was part of the premise for a show on actual television.
Did your dad work on the boats?
He worked in a sort of a factory down the dock. And pretty much, you know, the whole of Felixstowe is employed in the dock in some way. So, yeah, and everyone used to have sort of 16th and 18th birthday parties at the dock social club.
Really?
And it was like really, you know, classy.
That does sound like an episode of Howard's Way.
So the launch of Triangle was impossibly exciting. And little did we know what a disastrous show Triangle would turn out to be.
Well, they just got it all a bit wrong from the start, didn't they? I think they didn't, judging by, you know, what's written about it on the internet these days, they thought it would be a really good idea to film on a boat on that stretch of water, bearing in mind the weather's mostly shit there.
Yes.
And apparently the cameras they had, the video cameras, obviously then it wasn't film, they didn't pick up colours the same way in external shots as they did in internal shots. So when they filmed in the cabins, they had to shut the curtains. They might as well have been in the studio anyway. And some of the crew were seasick, apparently.
Yes. It was absolutely beset by technical problems. I mean, the El Dorado comparison isn't far off, because it was a similar sort of misconceived thing where it was just...
It's a grand folly, basically.
Yeah, this kind of litany of problems. And... Yeah, the weather was terrible. Everyone was seasick. It looked really unglamorous. You know, all these slate grey skies. You kind of think, the Americans had the Love Boat, which is all kind
of
like glossy and glamorous.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're on a kind of slightly rain-lashed cross-channel ferry.
Just like piss-awful weather, grey skies. It was so bleak. And I think the idea, exactly the Love Boat, the idea that you could have like a core cast and then lots of guest stars coming in as passengers.
Yeah, and, yeah. You know, I mean, the format is quite clever. And
in theory.
But yeah, but it was particularly grim when they had to have, all these portholes with the kind of little curtains drawn across them because they couldn't light it properly.
Just
ridiculous.
So it was Larry Lamb. It was kind of a main role for him. And he'd done that cameo in Superman. Had the Superman films.
Yeah.
Is it the bit where he's working in a mine or something and Superman crushes a lump of coal in his fist and makes a diamond?
Extraordinary. So, yeah, Larry Lamb and Kate O'Mara are like the only famous cast
the
members, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously massive chemistry there between
they
the two of them.
They have sizzling chemistry, mm-hmm. even on the freezing deck of it. So the scene, the whole thing opens with these three guys, well, there's two guys, Larry Lamb and that other man, looking through a porthole, and they can see this woman naked but for some green bikini bottoms just stretched out on this freezing wind lash.
Yeah, yeah. And you feel really sorry for Kate O'Mara because she's clearly having to, you know, she's an actor. She's having to pretend that it's like, you know,
they've tanned
balmy
her.
Weather.
They've
and
given
she's,
her sunglasses.
She's,
but really.
She's topping up her tan on a kind of like grey March day on the freezing cold deck.
Yeah, and she's lying on her front.
She's lying on her front.
Like,
and then she, but she, when she stands up and she's kind of like got her arm across her bosom.
She covers her nips. Her nips are covered.
But it's clearly like, you know, it's supposed to be just her covering her nipples. But she's absolutely wrapped her arms. You know, she's shivering with cold. Is what
she's
it looks
to,
like.
Yeah, they've managed to not show the fact that she's actually shivering. And there's a lot of very dodgy banter where they're watching through the window. Larry Lamb offers to go. His character offers to go outside to find out what she's doing there. We're obviously, with a twinkle in his eye, going, "Leave this to me, lad."
Yeah.
Not crew.
You'd know if she was, of course,
from that angle. Yeah, constantly.
And you don't.
I'll go and find out.
What?
What do you think?
All sorts. Gave them to yourself.
What she thinks she's doing there for a start.
And she's just mute. She doesn't reply to him.
Yeah.
She's sort of winding him up. And he tries, are you French? Are you from Sweden? Like, he tries to speak in different languages to her. And inside, one of the other crew members goes, for God's sake, make her stand up, man. It's like, are you dirty old pervert? Yes,
because people say that all the time.
It's just grim, isn't it?
Make her stand up, man. Yeah,
it's
and she's
not very nice.
She looks, I love Kate O'Mara.
She was wonderful.
She was so wonderful and so glamorous. And she kind of looks like a sort of half woman, half cat.
Yes, she doesn't look like a real person. Yeah. Or indeed anything else. And obviously she was in Howard's Way too. There was a crossover there.
Yes, and she was
and
in
many other things.
She didn't steal the Colby. She popped up in one
she
of the
was,
US
yes,
Super
she was,
Soaps
she
later.
Caressed.
Brilliant.
Was it Joan Collins' sister? Was that right? I think so.
Well, there was Sable and
that's right.
They all had the most ridiculous,
insane
glamorous
names
didn't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, I think she was Caress Colby, but I'm not 100% sure. She also turned up really late on in her career and still looking unbelievable as Patsy's sister in Ab Fab.
Yes,
that, where she,
of course.
She did that brilliant Brigitte Bardot thing of being like a faded model. Obviously, she wasn't faded at all. She looked insanely gorgeous. Who was just like, only cared about her little babies, her little furry babies. She loved her animals. Pats, I just want to look after them. I want to open a cat sanctuary. And yeah, and she was like, you know, obviously former rock and roll, sort of shooting up and not eating. But she gave this any glamour that it had.
Yeah,
just
I mean,
one woman.
I know, poor her. And it must have been so grim to film it. I was also quite partial to El Dorado. And
oh, I got really hooked on it, even though it was a load of old shit.
Me and my flatmate Paul at the time. Hello, Paul, if you're listening. We got really into it, and I remember signing the petition to keep it on air.
Bunny and what was his name?
Fizz and Bunny.
Fizz and Bunny.
But Paul went one louder, and he went on the kind of Save El Dorado march.
There was a
to BBC TV Centre to sort of picket the TV Centre.
There was a march.
There was like, certainly an organised protest, but it was so sparsely attended. It was basically Paul and the cast of El Dorado,
aww,
which, you know, he was in heaven, so he's on this coach, kind of sat next to Trish Valentine.
That's amazing.
You know, and sort of bonding with Joy from Joy's Bar.
Because I remember the interviews with the cast. Weren't they on the news when it was finally cancelled? And they were in tears going, it's very bad what they've done. It's very bad. This international cast of actors who, like, I think, literally were like, this is all we have. I imagine they're all still living there in that purpose-built village. Just like, we're not leaving.
I know, all apart from Marcus Tandy, who got out.
Marcus!
In a flashy sports car.
Yeah, did he? Where did he end up? Jesse Birdsall. He was in Spooks, wasn't he?
Yeah, no, not Spooks. He did Bugs.
Bugs, not Spooks.
The shit Spooks.
Bugs, not Spooks.
Bugs. Jesse Birdsall, Craig McLachlan, and
that's right.
And the woman off of the one-to-one phone adverts. Remember that? The lady in the corner, sort of like, she was called Jay Griffiths, I want to say she's called.
Oh,
like
yes. She was in the bill.
A sort of mixed
that.
Race actress with big hair.
Yeah.
And she was always in the corner of a mobile phone, in the early days of mobile phone.
That's right.
In a little circle in the corner. Kind of
with
go,
a headset.
Hello, how may I help
that's
you? One
right.
to one.
Yes, and she had a fairly big part in the bill as well. She's a detective in the bill too.
So they were the team
bloody
on Bugs.
Hell. Bugs. When I was looking into Triangle online, just to bring it back to your original choice, the guy that produced Triangle was an old BBC hack producer called Bill Sellers. And he had some great successes and some not so great successes. But he produced All Creatures Great and Small. That was like his biggest, probably
legendary,
thumbs up. The story of his life, well, in the three lines on Wikipedia, is kind of incredible, and I sort of want to make a film of it. So Bill Sellers, in his younger days, he's a young BBC producer. He marries an actress called June Bland. I don't think she's done loads. Anyway, they have three children and they're very sadly divorced in 1974.
Oh.
End of June and Bill. Bill, clearly reading between the lines, moves to Spain, decides he might actually be attracted to men.
Oh.
Eventually meets a nice partner, moves to Spain. They
is this a storyline for El Dorado?
No,
is this someone's actual life?
It's his actual brilliant life. He moves in with his life partner. He gets civved up. His life partner, very sadly, in 2012 passes away.
Oh no, Bill.
Really sad. Bill comes back from Spain and he remarries June and lives with her till his death at the age of 93.
Plot twist.
It's just completely unexpected, but like what a brilliant, that just, I don't know, something about that just says make a film. What a lovely story.
Oh.
She was just clearly still loved him.
Yeah.
And you know, at that age, I guess you just want a companion, someone to rub along with.
He's got that out of his system now. Come back.
I'm not gay anymore.
It's just a phase.
No, but what a lovely thing. And she clearly just, her heart was still his. And oh, just completely delightful. So no, that should have been a plot in something.
That would have made a better plot than most of the plots in Triangle.
I know, right? Shitty old Triangle. It somehow managed to cling on for three series.
I know. I was surprised by that. I thought it was binned after one in my head. But
81 to 83.
Apparently, Terry Wogan gave it quite a caning pretty much the morning after every episode on the Radio 2 breakfast show.
And as a BBC show, obviously, that was quite punk of him. Against the grain. And actually, talking about El Dorado, I never really forgave El Dorado, although I did have a sort of secret dirty love for it. Because it took the place of Wogan in the schedules.
Mm, and the 7 o'clock slot.
Thing, that was the only thing. Three times a week. Was it Monday, Wednesday, Friday?
Mm.
That was the thing that our family all stopped everything to watch. We all watched Wogan because you never knew who you were going to get on the sofa, and it could be like, you know, someone drunk, like Oliver Reed could come on pissed. It was kind of a bit exciting and sort of where
George
we got
Best
all of our...
lurching on. And,
exactly. It was always the drunk people. But, you know, I just remember really loving that. Even when Selena Scott did like her shit stand-ins for Wogan when it was on holiday, I still really loved it. There's one I really remember where she's just horribly rude to Brian Adams and just tells him he's scruffy and to smarten himself up. But she clearly is, it's sort of her way of flirting with him.
Yeah,
she shits at it.
Yeah.
So she's just being rude to him and he's like, what did I do? I just came to promote my album. Why are you being such a
horrible... Do you remember Nicolas Cage on Woven? That's one of the best
chat
shows.
Yeah, didn't he throw out 50s or something?
Yeah, he just came on. It was like Nicolas Cage invented the character of Nicolas Cage at that point.
He kind of came
high kicking onto the set and sort of ripped his leather jacket off and threw it into the crowd
That's
and then started
right.
just throwing money everywhere. And Woken was just sat there in a kind of, you know, beige suit looking a bit horrified while Nicolas Cage just pranced around, you know, working the crowd,
memorable.
Going, yeah, yeah.
God bless Nicolas Cage. If you haven't seen it's not his remake of The Wicker Man, but the one he stars in, watch it.
Yeah.
It's one of the funniest films ever made. It's absolutely brilliant. Michael, thank you for segueing wildly off of Triangle and then coming back to it.
There probably wasn't that much to say about Triangle.
It was cold. It went wrong. They shouldn't have done it. Before you leave, please delve into my box of delights.
Okay. I'm going to have a little rummage. Yeah. Because I know you hide all the good ones.
I do.
First TV crush. Well, I was quite partial to the Cadbury's Caramel Bunny.
Oh, okay. So animated crush.
Yeah.
I can understand.
Animated sort of, you know, rabbit crush.
Was it Miriam Margulies who did the voice?
I think it was, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
It was just partly the sort of velvety voice, wasn't it? And she was, you know, I want to say she's almost sort of Jessica Rabbit. Like in my head, she was kind of curvy, but I'm not sure she actually was.
I think she might have been quite rabbit shaped, actually, but just like had really long eyelashes.
Hey, Mr. Squirrel.
And a come hither bow.
Why are you squirreling around? Come over here. And so that, but in terms of human crushes, probably, I don't know, Daisy Duke, someone like that.
Oh, hell yeah. It's a bit basic, Michael. But
I know. Daisy Duke, Charlie's Angels, all those people.
Okay.
They're the source of
ladies with
slight
flicky
stirring.
Hair and tiny shorts.
Yeah. And often a pair of kind of thick chocolate tights underneath the shorts. Recipe
American
for thrush
hair.
Readers.
Oh, that is really messed up. You fancy women with...
But then we're into grain chill, aren't we, I suppose.
Yeah, and they all had quite pasty legs. Anyway, thank you for that and goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. You can find links to the YouTube clips from today's episode on our Twitter feed @BoxDelightsPod. Come and say hello. Bye.